B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
Instead of going out buying those little heart-shaped candies, give your girlfriend or your wife a box of Snickers. You see what I mean? They last a long time, and nothing like chewing on that caramel and the nuts. I'll tell you, it's good. It lasts longer. And plus, here's a tip for Mr. T. Valentine's Day really should be every day. I pity the fool who have to wait to Valentine's Day to tell his girlfriend or wife that he love her and buy a box of candy. He should do that every day. Snickers, get some nuts. I'll tell you, it's good. Chewing on that caramel and the nuts. Get some nuts. I pity the fool who have to wait to Valentine's Day to tell his girlfriend or wife that he love her.
Do not wait, ladies and gentlemen. Tell your loved ones that you love them. Don't wait till Valentine's Day. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch. Go to Twitch, get the 98.5 The Sports Hub. Go subscribe to that. Get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app at the App Store. And in a way, I'm glad it's freezing today. I'm leaving tomorrow.
Zero, I think it is, with the wind chill right now in Boston. So that's a seems like a fantastic way to wake up.
Yeah. And I'm leaving tomorrow, so and never have I wanted to leave more than right now. It is it's miserable outside. The car not getting hot.
I think the rest of the week is supposed to be fairly miserable as well.
Yeah,
I think that through the middle of next week, we're just gonna get that February grossness that we're all accustomed to. So there you go, big fat zero when you wake up right now. And if you're west of the Worcester area, or whatever, you're in the well into the negative. So that sucks. Not going to be fun.
Yeah, because sometimes I'll go away in February and then it won't be bad here, and I don't like that. I want everyone to suffer here while I'm gone. Mm-hmm. And so good. That's how you want it. You want it when you get off the plane and you feel finally the air that you're like, ooh, this is nice. This is what you want. You don't want to. That's the whole point of it. When you leave, and then you want to look at the forecast. As you know, you have time. You're on vacation. You have time to peruse things. You want to look and go, ooh, mm-hmm. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Very, very cold there. 80 degrees here. So, and I'm with my kids alone for 4 days, and I'm not dreading that because I'm saying, here is the outdoors. Look at this outdoors that you have at your disposal. You can submerge yourself in water outside. Have at it. And that's very exciting to me. Very exciting. So I look at Florida. It's the same as here. No different. So, same difference. Stay outside. Mind your P's and Q's. Mm-hmm. You'll be all right.
Yeah, I think that the snow is supposed to. Aren't we supposed to get one more next week? I think I'm taking a look at the stuff. I know it's going to be freezing.
Yeah, some small thing on Sunday and then something on Tuesday, and so it goes.
So, I've been talking about this Arthur P. guy from WRIF back when he was a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And it's WRAF's 50th anniversary, so they have these podcasts out about the history of WRAF. You know, it started, obviously, in 1971. And Arthur P., first of all, very proud of saying baby. Because he would go, baby, baby. And they're like, you know, how'd you come up with it? Because everyone was trying to say baby, but no one could pull it off because you got to mean it. And then he would do something called, it's Maui time, where everyone would go to Maui with him. They would have a contest. And then so the guy's like, oh, yeah, it had to be pretty crazy in Maui. He's like, that's confidential. And they're like, well, didn't Ted Nugent go with you a couple times? And he's like, yeah. And you're like, well, was he a troublemaker? That's confidential. And you're like, wow, what a podcast. Thanks for getting involved, man. This is great. Thanks for all these great stories.
But think about that. Radio contests used to be insane. There was one time where, there was a contest that we did one time where we gave away 25 cars in 25 days. Like in a month, every day they gave away a car, which is just, I mean, it's insane. I don't even know how they were able to pull that off. But I remember one time we did a thing in the station, Fred, I know you and I used to work at, where they loaded an entire plane full of people and flew them to the Bahamas for a private concert with, it was Collective Soul. You know, who cares what it was? It was an entire plane full of people to go to the Bahamas for like 3 nights. I mean, when is the last time you heard of any kind of radio contest that was anything similar to that?
Well, Chris Williams had a contest where it was this once-in-a-lifetime experiences, and he sent people to space.
Yeah, it was in one of those planes that went up so high that you could see the curvature of the Earth. Yeah.
Yeah, and there were, the worst contest that they wanted to do involving me is that South African Airlines, there was something, I don't know if it's still around, but it was called South African Airlines, and they were starting a direct route from Atlanta to South Africa. And they're like, wouldn't it be fun if you went to South Africa for the day and then came back? And I went, that sounds like the worst thing in the history of the world.
I got for the day?
Yeah.
If you're sending me for like a week, I'd be like, hell yeah, I'll go to South Africa. Yeah. But for a day?
Yeah, well, it's like a 20-hour flight. And it was like the day and the night. And they sent Axel one time to Ibiza for 2 days. And he went
to
it. Oh, he was miserable.
I would do that.
Absolutely miserable. Well, if you're partying there, it's not overly fun to have to get back on a plane for, you know, 16 hours to come back.
Yeah.
So he went there, like, basically touched down, you know, partied for 36 hours and then had to get back on a plane and come back. And said it was hell on earth. So, but they really pressured me to do the South African Airlines thing. And I'm like, I'm not going just to ride on a, well, you'll be in first class. Ooh. So I can sit in like a big chair for, 16 hours, wherever the hell the flight is. It's like one of the furthest flights you can take. Get out of here. I'm not doing that.
Adolfo and I flew to Vegas for like 14 hours.
Yeah. Well, you and I were in Vegas one time for,
that was like with a little hop, skip, and a jump flight. Like, I mean, we flew from Boston, Adolfo and I, and went to that hangover screening and then interviewed the guys afterwards. And then our flight was like, we got in, I think we landed at 4 p.m. and we interviewed the guys even before we saw the movie, I think. I think we interviewed them at 5 and the screening was at 8. And then we had a 7 a.m. flight back.
That's not overly bad, though, because that's a flight that you can sleep through, especially if you partied in Vegas the whole time. Like, you can make it so you can sleep on the way back. That ain't a 16-hour flight.
No, no, no. That's not South Africa. No way.
No. Going to Vegas, I mean, I wouldn't want to do it now, but, I mean, I go to Vegas and, you know, you do the interview, you see the movie, and then you just stay up all night having fun in Vegas. It's not ideal. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, and then, what do you mean you want to, well, Fred's spoiled, he doesn't want to do this. No, I don't want to do this. I don't want to sit on a flight for, what would that be? That'd be 32 hours round trip?
South Africa for a day?
I'm like, no.
Also have to, like, when you go to South Africa, I mean, that you're talking, got to go through customs and everything, too. I mean, it's not just get on a plane, fly there, and you get back on. Anytime it's an international flight like that, you know, there's a lot of hoops you have to jump through. It's not the world's easiest commute.
Yeah, and plus, South Africa, there's parts of it that are nice and fine, but it's not like a lot. I mean, I could, well, then fly me to, you know, fly me to St. Bart's or something. I mean, fly me on a nice, you know, 4-hour flight to St. Bart's. I mean, well, there's beaches. Great. So I get off the plane. We're all going to be exhausted. And then would I sit on a beach in a coma for 8 hours and then I have to get back on this? I'll never forget. It's first class, Fred. Oh, first class. Now, yeah, what a treat.
How long were you going to stay there? Like, what was the amount of time?
Maybe a night. Maybe I got in an evening. I stayed that night and the next night. And that's pushing it. I don't even think it was that long.
Yeah.
But it was terrible. I did the best gig I did is they said, because they used to give away, there used to be contests that they didn't even pay attention to. There was one, do you want to go to Jazz Fest? Or I don't know if it was Jazz Fest or 311, whatever 311 plays in New Orleans. They do some festival in New Orleans.
There's Voodoo Fest down there, which is probably what it was.
Yeah, yeah. All right. And so they were like, you go down and then you got a hotel room for the night and you come back the next day. And that, you know, the flight to New Orleans from Atlanta is 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I went and it was an AirTran flight. I went and I got off the plane and I was the only representative of the radio station. And I said, do y'all have your tickets? And they went, yep. And I go, all righty, bye. And I went. And then, you know, because I'd never been to New Orleans before, and no, I had. But I you know, so we got there. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning, and everyone who's been to Bourbon Street knows this. When you're young and you're walking around, and they have the place that's 5-for-1 beers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows that. It's a dump.
Well, I mean, there's several places that are like that on Bourbon Street.
But there's the one place, and it's outside, and there's one place where it's famous.
Patty O'Brien's? Is that what you're talking about?
No. This is a dump. Patty O'Brien's is a tourist trap. This is not, by the way, this isn't like off the beaten trail. This is Bourbon Street. But it's, every time I go there, I see it, and I go, oh, that's the place. And the guy who was bartending was like, he was taking bets. So all I did was I sat there from, I guess I got there at noon. And my friend and I, Tom Merlino, sat there from noon until the West Coast games were over. And just gambled the whole time and drank 5-for-1 beers. And that was my trip to New Orleans. I never went to the concert. I never went to anything. And I remember there were like listeners that were pissed. And I'm like, go to hell. What are you? I didn't want to hang out. I'm not going to hang out with you. You're in New Orleans. Do whatever the hell you want to do. I don't want to go see 311.
If you have never been to New Orleans, you got to go, but don't go for the first time during Mardi Gras. That's like a total amateur move. That is not the first way you do it. And don't go during like a bowl game, because that's the other thing. If you head on down there, you know, right around New Year's or when one of those bowls is happening down there, it's a nightmare. But I mean, that is like, our show used to broadcast from there, or not broadcast from there. We had an affiliate in New Orleans, so we would go there about once every 2 months, and it was great because we would fly in, we would go out, we would drink all night, and we would roll into the broadcast at some remote place at like 6 a.m. We would do our show, we would fly home, and it was a blast. And that's just a town that every Super Bowl should be held in. Like, they should just have every Super Bowl in New Orleans. I can't think of a town where if you're there for one weekend, there aren't many more fun cities. If you're there for any time longer than one weekend, you might want to get the hell out of Dodge. Like, one weekend's perfect, especially if you're staying downtown. Now, outside of it, there's a lot of beautiful areas that, you know, New Orleans, you know, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, like the Magazine Street area and stuff.
Magazine Street's where my sister-in-law used to live there, and that's an awesome area that tourists don't go to. Yeah, but it's awesome. But just, I can't think of a more fun in-and-out weekend than New Orleans. Yeah, it's more fun than Vegas, too. It's less, like, intense.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely more convenient to get to. And, if you know, you talk about not going to Mardi Gras. I don't know what it's like now, because Key West has completely changed. And in my lifetime, it's completely changed. It's one of the places where you can truly say it's not nearly the same as it was. But if the first time you ever went to Key West was Fantasy Fest, you're having a good time. The Fantasy Fest is there.
What is that?
It's like their Mardi Gras.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I've been to Fantasy Fest a couple times. I could not tell you the history of it or why it exists.
But isn't it around Halloween time?
I've
been there.
Yeah, it is. It is around Halloween time, and everyone wears costumes and stuff.
Sometimes they're costumes.
Well, or they're nude.
Sometimes they're nude. Most of the times they're nude, yeah.
And Rich has seen my wife, I believe, naked in New Orleans.
What are you talking about?
Not in New Orleans, in Key West. Were you not there when my wife at Crash's wedding removed all her clothes and went in the pool?
No. No, I was not.
I was not there either. I was not at that particular place.
I mean, that weekend was awesome. I don't remember that.
I wasn't married to her, but we were dating, and she got naked. She got all messed up and got naked at some pool at someone's hotel and got in naked in the pool. I wasn't with her.
Dude, I wouldn't have remembered almost anything from most of those nights. Like, I remember at one point there were like 20 of us in a small convertible just hanging out the side of it. Like the most road dangerous thing ever.
That's one of my favorite memories, because one of the funniest stories, and no one's going to get it but you, is that Crash was getting married. It was his first marriage. And this girl at our station was just in love. She was a young girl. She was like 12. No, she's a young girl. She was like 22 or something. And she was just in love with him. So in love with him. Crash really should have married her. And they'd still be together. And we were driving in that convertible, and she was sitting next to me. And she just was so dejected, and she just put her hand and grabbed my penis and looked at me with this look of exceptional sadness on her face.
What?
I've never seen someone so sad.
Oh, my God.
And she was just like, it was just like, huh? Like maybe this will, you know, make me feel better for a second. And I just looked at her, and you know, when someone grabs your penis, you get excited. And even I was like, all right, young lady, let's call her Hildegard. I was like, all right, Hildegard, okay, like, you know, all my instincts to say, you know, keep this up, but I was like, all right, Hildegard, you're in a bad place. Let's not
I
do
mean,
this.
There
that was that weekend. You were in that car.
Oh, yeah. It was like 20 people. I was hanging out for dear life. Everyone was like just spilling out. I don't know how we didn't get pulled over or someone didn't die.
Well, you didn't get pulled over because you're in QS, but
that's a good point. Good point. But I mean, there was a million. There were so many just insane moments from that weekend that I do remember. But one of them being that Crash's photographer that they hired for the wedding was somebody who later ended up on a Dr. Phil show for My Photographer Ruined My Wedding.
Yeah.
And so he got so drunk at one of the reception, but the one beforehand where the family
the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, but it was like a rehearsal dinner. It was like during the day. We were all hanging out outside, and all of a sudden we heard this smack, this super loud. It sounded like a car accident, and all of a sudden there was this big white light that just shot up into the sky. We're like, what? And we take a look down, and the guy who was the photographer, obviously was drunk off his ass, had put his camera, super expensive camera, in the front basket of his bike and rammed headfirst into the side of a car.
It was
and
a moped. Flash went,
it was a moped.
It was a moped.
And smashed it and fell on the ground. And there's like all the film exposed lying on the ground. And he just stands up real quick and scrambles to pick it all up and shove it back in his moped and took off. And the guy who was in the car is like, hey, hey!
Yeah, the best day of my life was in Key West. I had the best day of my life ever in Key West. The day I will always remember is the best day of my life. And then I go back there every now and again and try to relive it, and it's just never going to happen again. It was the day. It was back in like 93 or 97, and I was living in Little Torch Key. And it was the day the Hooters opened up in Key West on Duval Street.
That will forever be your favorite day of all time.
I'd love to hear this.
The people in Key, because you know how people, because now it's ruined, but people.
There's when your kids are born, there's the day of your wedding.
Most fun.
But number one is when Hooters opened in Key West.
Most fun. Everyone came out. And back then, the people that lived there that I knew were insurance scam artists that sold fraudulent hurricane insurance. There were three of those guys. and then the rest were guys that ran flat fishing boats, and they were so excited that a Hooters opened up that the whole island was, and went out. I didn't spend the day at Hooters, but like, just it was just everyone went out, and it was, and I had a girl with me, and it was so, oh, was that a fun day? We started off. That was the day that we started off spearfishing, and I couldn't catch anything, but I swallowed all that water, and I tried. I was telling my wife this story the other day, and I tried not to throw up in front of this girl, and the motor of the boat we were on flooded because you were in a crappy boat, and you had to bilge it by hitting this tiny little button. And for a half an hour, I held in all this water. And when I got back to the place I was staying, it was my friend's parents' house, which was about a bedroom and a half in one bathroom. And I went and I threw up so much salt water, I overflooded the toilet with throw up. I threw up maybe 3 gallons of salt water at that point. Geez. That started the day. And then, but people were throwing lobsters on our boat because they have one lobster season. They have like, it's like 6 hours. And people were throwing lobsters on the boat, and you pull over to some place and you give them $5 and they cook the lobster for you. It was a fantastic day. But everyone was so excited about that Hooters opening up.
That's fantastic.
Oh, it was great. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Well, the Celtics find an unconventional way to get back on track.
All right, we'll have that for you in just a minute.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Tub.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What even last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what went on last night?
So the Celtics find an unconventional way to get back on track.
Tice. Anderson, Jaylen Brown, draws a double team, kick to the corner. Ogilvy looking for another one. Got it! Career high, 6th 3 of the night for Shemi Ogilvy.
And you can see Lowry like, well, who am I supposed to guard? I'm double teaming the scores, but Shemi Ogilvy is killing it.
And he's matched his career high with 22 points, and he's done it in 20 minutes tonight.
Shemi Ogilvy made a case to stay in the starting lineup last night as he could not miss from 3, drilling 6 of them on the way to a career-high 24 points. The Celtics win last night, 120-106 over the Raptors. It was a good win, coming off a long road trip, and boy, did they really need it. It was a game where, instead of lead scorers, Jason and Jaylen were facilitators. They had 19 assists between the two of them, and as far as Kemba, which everyone's keeping an eye on, I wouldn't call it a bounce-back game, but more of a step in the right direction.
Tatum, left side, Lowry comes out to challenge. Tice sets the screen, freeing him. Push pass, Kemba, quick 3, right side. That's online and good. Celtics have it back to 12.
And you know, Toronto's playing it the right way. Celtics just shooting the lights out there.
Yeah, Kemba was 5 for 8 beyond the arc and finished with 21. If I'm not mistaken, I think I saw this on the broadcast, that he was 0-for on 2-point shots last night. So it was either foul shots or it was 3-pointers, but nothing in between. And he was trying.
Just
so,
a step in the right direction. That's all I care about.
As I said, that's all you want. If you can get 21 from Kemba after the slump he's been going through, I'll take it right now. So, but the true story of last night was the legend of the people's champ. It keeps on growing.
88-80. Tristan Thompson hand to Peyton Pritchard. He and Ogilvy knocking down 3s all night. Here's another one for Pritchard, and he rips it through. And Boucher, who came out to challenge, just puts his palms up in the air like, who on earth is this kid who's knocked down 6 3s tonight?
His name is Peyton Pritchard. You better remember it because it's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He is needed more than ever, and he is continuing to show that he does belong out there. 20 points last night, and how is this for the most ridiculous stat of the evening? even after all the years of Ray Allen and Eddie House, what, Paul Pierce and Antoine Walker, you can go back to Larry Bird, you know, Danny Ainge, the first pair of teammates in Celtics franchise history to both make at least 6 3-pointers in the same game are Semi Ojeleye and Peyton Pritchard.
That's more along the lines of the way the game is played now, as opposed to the way Antoine Walker was about 20 years too early. Walker would have flourished in today's game. He would have been accepted and revered as a god in today's game. Well, unfortunately, shooting 6 to 10 3-pointers in a game was not the way it was supposed to be done
just
in the mid-90s.
Just think of Ray Allen. Like, there wasn't somebody who, by accident, like, you know, let's, like Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, there wasn't a game where both of them hit 6 3-pointers.
As I said, that's the way the game is played now. You got a guy who makes 6 threes a game coming off the bench. That's looked at as, you know, normal stuff these days.
Yeah, well, that is a piece of trivia that will save your life one day. Well,
right.
Here's Peyton Pritchard being told about that stat and how that now makes him a Celtics legend.
I'm happy for my guy, Shemmy. He was strapping tonight, so, you know, he's a shooter, so I think he should just keep on shooting and find ways and space and floor to get that shot off, because it's money.
I guess he is a shooter. Well, he told us that, apparently he is.
I'm just happy someone got hot. That's all. I'm happy they won, and Toronto looks lost. They do at times. I mean, that's a good team. That's a good team. They have good players on that team, and they look lost at times last night. They're going to break that team up. And the other thing is, their star player doesn't shoot threes. Siakam is not a three. He made a couple last night. But in today's day and age, your best player has to be able to knock down shots from out there. Siakam's their all-star. He can't do that.
A weird year for them, though. It's almost like you got to give them a little bit of grace and leeway because of the fact that, I mean, they're playing their entire season in Tampa. I mean, none of them live in Tampa. None of them live there. But they had to somehow set up. And by the way, it's going to continue through the rest of the year. They announced that yesterday. They're just going to stay there. They're not going to finish out up in Toronto. So what a weird year for those guys anyway. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people were watching Kyle Lowry and saying, I wonder how he would look in a Celtics uniform.
He's so annoying. I can't stand him.
I love him.
He runs in front of people and falls down. He complains when every call goes against him. But I would want him on my team.
I would love him on our team.
He would be great. But watching him play against the team that I'm rooting for, I cannot stand him.
But as far as Kemba, he knows he's had a tough go lately, and he hopes that last night was a step in the right direction.
You got to get back to it. This is my 11th game, I believe. You know, I'm still just trying to, you know, just find my rhythm. I went a long time without touching the basketball before I even started playing. So, you know, I got to get back to that. I got to get back to that stuff, which I will, you know. It takes time. No, I just got to let the game come to me a little bit. But nothing with my knee or anything, you know, like that.
Kemba dressed in the hazmat suit from Breaking Bad last night, except an orange version of it. This is kind of funny. I saw Chris Forsberg tweet this last night regarding our interview with Danny Ainge. Not this one that we did yesterday, but last week. He said, ever since Danny Ainge said the team's biggest need was size with shooting, Grant Williams and Semi Ojeleye have made 75% of their threes, and Daniel Tice is ninth in the league in three-point percentage. So it's almost like all of them kind of got a little scared and said, we better start shooting the three up because somebody's noticing that might be an area that we're lacking. And Danny Ainge obviously made it very apparent. So, and then Chris Forsberg said Ainge should yearn for fourth quarter defense on his next radio appearance. That would be something. Although they looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, Tice is feeling it on offense.
Yeah.
He's trying stuff he's never tried before. That's going to cost him at some point. But for now, it's fun to watch. But yes, he's much better shooting the three this year than he's ever been.
And take this next report with a grain of salt because I can't confirm it anywhere else. The only in Boston Twitter account, which has over 500,000 followers, tweeted yesterday, quote, alert, as New York has approved reopening stadiums, it is expected that the TD Garden will announce in a few weeks that Bruins and Celtics games will be open to fans at a limited capacity starting in March. Fans will need to present a negative test, socially distance seating. That was the end of the tweet. Once again, I can't confirm that report anywhere, but the state of New York did say that in just over 2 weeks, they were going to consider opening arenas with seating of 10,000 people or more to 10% capacity. So take that report for whatever it's worth. I don't know where they're getting it. I couldn't find it confirmed anywhere, but it is going to be happening in New York by the end of this month, or at least it seems like it is. They've mentioned that they are going to attempt to do it by the end of this last month. So,
a lot of doctors and old people.
Not vaccines. They said negative tests.
That makes more sense. Okay.
So yeah, and I think that I read a little bit about what New York is doing, and the negative test has to have been within like 2 or 3 days, and 10%. I mean, obviously that's less than 2,000 people in most of these arenas, or 1,500, or however you want to take a look at it. It's interesting. So I don't know if that's true, but hopefully things are going the right direction in Massachusetts. And hopefully, you know, with all the vaccinations, maybe that might be a possibility.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. No, it does sound about right.
Because I have to imagine when the Major League Baseball season starts, they're going to have not the full crowd, but they're going to have crowds outdoors. I would imagine.
I imagine 4th of July, Fred, you're probably going to get, if not full crowds, 75%.
Yeah.
I would imagine by the 4th of July, because they said yesterday, I don't know if you heard the news, I guess that they just ordered 200 million more vaccines, and according to Dr. Fauci, he said April is open season. And basically in April, anyone who wants one is going to be able to get one. And it's going to take a while, obviously, to get everyone to get the vaccine. But you'd have to think by July, if that's the case, just the confidence that these stadiums are going to have, especially outdoor, you know, baseball stadiums, they may still require masks, but I have a feeling that you're going to get pretty full stands.
Yeah,
the
mask is something I think is going to be around for a while. But I mean, I have tickets to Red Sox games in April, and since they're season tickets, I have every confidence that I'll be able to go to those games in April. Now, I don't think they're going to have, you know, 75% capacity in April, but I think an outdoor venue, middle April, is gonna let people in.
They might adjust where your seats are. That's the thing.
That's fair. Yeah. But I have every confidence that I don't think that I'm gonna not be able to go to those games.
I think this is kind of like rolling downhill real quick. Once it starts happening, it's gonna happen real fast in a lot of places.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Well, the New York Times thing that they send out every day to subscribers, I was telling you off air, John, when you were half listening to me, was you have to say things to John twice. He's not listening the first time. It's all been very positive for the last week, which is very, very, very rare for them. So it's, in fact, they're going crazy on UMass Amherst, saying that they banning outdoor exercise because they're comparing it, and they have these people that epidemiologists that dealt with the AIDS crisis saying, well, this is as stupid as telling gay people not to have sex. Like when your strategy during the AIDS crisis was to tell gay people not to have sex, you're like, it's completely unreasonable.
Ban people from outdoor exercise?
Outdoor exercise. They have banned people from outdoor exercise. They said that you can get your exercise by going to get food and going to get tested.
That's ridiculous.
And then they said that the dangers, I read it to you off air.
Yes,
I'm not going to find it again. But they said the dangers of exercising outdoors without a mask are no danger at all. Mm-hmm. And that you would have to have a face-to-face conversation with someone to spread it. Anyway, everyone's wearing masks. I assume you'll wear a mask. I don't have a problem wearing a mask. I'll wear a mask at the Red Sox game. I just assume that they'll allow some fans in. That's just my assumption.
The mask thing to me is fine, wear a mask.
Baseball,
more than anything, you're going to have, you know, I have no doubt in my mind that by summer there's going to be a decent crowd there. The playoffs would be nice if the numbers could continue to go down. I'm talking the playoffs for NHL and basketball. If you could get at least some semblance of a crowd, I understand the difficulty of it being indoors. And listen, maybe some states will be more stubborn than others on getting their vaccines, but it will be. It's possible that it could happen.
Well, there's a point. Yeah, they're saying, you know, 70 to 85% of people have to have the vaccine. At a certain point, people are going to get them or they're not going to get them. I would imagine that percentage of people that's just going to refuse is going to be fairly low. If they continue upping the pace, because as of now, June 26th would be 50% of the population, and then if you combine all the people that have had it, that's a pretty decent amount of people in the country that have developed some antibodies. But if they're increasing, and with Johnson & Johnson vaccine comes out, yeah, that number is going to 50. We'll reach 50% before then. So
Johnson & Johnson, you only need one, correct?
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. But if I was someone who had the comorbidity or whatever that is, I wouldn't want that one necessarily. But if you're a healthy person, you get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I mean, it's 65% effective, but also you're not going to the hospital or dying from COVID if you have it. You can fight it off. That's what they're saying.
Well, the comorbidity people, it's going to be, I think that Johnson & Johnson one's not going to be out during phase two. I think that's basically going to be ready when phase three comes by, which is good. That's perfect. The timing is good because the most susceptible people should get the stronger ones, the Moderna and the Pfizer one. And that right now, the timing seems to line up that way. So
that's good.
Cross your fingers, man. We might be able to go to a live sporting event sooner than you think.
Well, yeah, it would be a big shock if you couldn't. All right. What's coming up, Rich?
We got some Brady news. Some conspiracy when it comes to what was said on the field to Tyrann Mathieu.
No. All right. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Honey, check it out, you got me mesmerized. With your black hair and your fat thighs. Poetry is my everyday, but yo, I gotta stop when you try.
98.5, The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. What's going on with the braid, man?
Well, looks like Tom Brady partied himself right into knee surgery. Report came out yesterday that the procedure will entail a, quote, cleanup of Brady's knee, although according to Ben Volen, source told him that it's not quite as innocuous as it sounds and that his knee needs a little more than is being intimated by what they're saying is a little bit of a cleanup. So there you go. For all it's worth, it doesn't really matter when it's Tom Brady. He's a robot. So earlier this week, we talked about how when Inside the NFL aired their mic'd up Super Bowl segment, the one part they neglected to air is the part that I know most of us wanted to see the most. What was it that Tom Brady said to Tyrann Mathieu that prompted him to tweet and delete after the game that, quote, he called me something I won't repeat but yell at all the media, throw me under the bus as if I did something or said something to him. And as we were saying, the NFL suspiciously left that out of not only the segment that aired on Showtime Tuesday, which had about 15 minutes worth of mic'd up audio, but also the much longer 45-minute clip that the NFL released yesterday. So according to a source at Pro Football Talk, the NFL's in-house production company won't be disclosing the content of the exchange between Brady and Mathieu, because who'd want to hear that? As the source explained it, NFL Films typically does not reveal the audio of such squabbles between players. And to that I say, that's garbage. Mm-hmm. They do that all the time. As a matter of fact, that's why people watch those mic'd up segments on Inside the NFL. It's for those very moments. How many times have we played audio of people getting in each other's face? How much audio do we have of Aqib Talib getting in dude's face and yelling at him? Hell, we played half the stuff in the intro we have for him when he was on with us every week.
Yeah.
So I don't know what went on there, but whatever it is, they don't want the world to know about it. So Michael Irvin, who I think he's on Inside the NFL, he apparently has heard the audio, and he described what he heard to Rich Eisen.
I'm gonna say this. Yes. I didn't like that Tyrann Mathieu put that out like that, the way he put it out, honestly, because I thought, come on now. You know, it makes it sound as if it makes people want to know. What did he say? We're curious. As if he said the N-word. Yeah. And he did not. Tom did not. So, you know, I don't even like that even looming over this situation. So that's why I think we should clean that up somewhere, somehow. That's what I'm saying.
So
he didn't say that.
Okay, then why not release it?
Yeah.
Like, maybe why not put that out there?
Maybe he was nasty and they don't want their golden boy to look bad after the Super Bowl.
Fred, yes, that's exactly why. I can't think of any other reason. It's because he probably, called him like a nasty name, but not one that was, you know,
might have
racial.
Said something like gay, the F word or something like that.
I mean, right, he might have swore.
No, but like used a gay slur or something. You know,
oh, you think?
Well, I don't think that, but I mean,
it has to be something like that for them not to release the audio if he didn't say those words you're not supposed
because
to say.
Because the real thing that you can't say is the racial stuff.
Yeah.
And that was why what Tyrann Mathieu did, which, unless you're kidding yourself, by putting that out there, and the reason he obviously deleted it is because it puts it in, Michael Irvin's completely right, it puts it in people's minds that he said the N-word, which I never in a million years thought that Tom Brady would say to him.
No, of course not.
And that would have gotten out. Because if I'm a black guy in a game and Tom Brady says that to me, I'm probably going ballistic, and then I'm making sure everyone knows. But he might have said something, in the heat of battle, he might have said something that, who knows, he called him midget or something because he's tiny and they don't want him to say midget because it's offensive to little people. I don't know.
I think they're so protective of him that it's almost nothing. I think it's just that he swore.
That could be it.
He said like something like he called him like an MF-er or something like that. And they're like, whoa, we can't have, Brady's our guy. He's the face of the NFL. We can't even have that. I guarantee you they're overprotecting Tom Brady right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's very well could be the case. The worst thing I could think he did was said a gay slur to a non-gay man.
Sure.
And that they figured, why even put that out there?
I just think Brady's smarter than that. I think that he just swore. I think he just swore.
Yeah, but I would imagine gay slurs get thrown around on the football field a lot to non-gay people or seemingly people that you don't believe are gay. And I mean, it happens. People do that. Guys do that in competition. It's not something you would say in a public play, you know what I'm saying, like in media, but I don't know. I'm not saying he did.
I know you're not, but we're having this conversation because they didn't release this.
Right.
Just release the audio and let everyone know, oh, hey, you know what? Oh, wow, a grown man swore on a football field at somebody who wants to crack his ribs? Oh, my goodness, how dare he? I mean, anyone would understand if you ended up swearing at the guy. Oh, of course.
Or maybe he called him a bad name for someone with lesser intelligence or something like that.
You might be right. Yeah, I mean that maybe that's.
I mean, think of all the things that can get people offended, and
sure,
and
there are a lot.
Well, he did go to LSU, but so that's actually why I thought of that. Because he went to LSU, so maybe he said something, a word that you're not supposed to say for people with lesser intelligence.
I think most people around LSU would be like, well, yeah, I mean, that's true.
I don't think he might have said idiot. I think he might have said it starts with an R.
Sure.
But, I mean, you're yelling and you're fighting and it's a physical thing and, you might say something and I don't have a huge problem.
He
said
him
any
a
of those.
Bitch. People on Twitter are even saying that. Everyone's saying that. Stop acting like a bitch or stop. I bet that's what it was.
Sure.
Yeah, it was probably something as harmless as that. That the NFL was like, we don't even want that getting out there because this is the face of the NFL. Which,
regardless, regardless, the big thing not to say is a racial thing. I don't, under any circumstances, and it's been confirmed by confirmed right there by Michael Irvin. He didn't. So anything else, myself personally, and you out there might have a different opinion of it, I would let it go as guys in competition. But
sure.
Unless you're Charlie Villanueva and then you have to tell on everyone for saying
Jesus,
anything.
Remember that?
Yeah.
The whole Kevin Garnett thing?
Real good look. Yeah, real tough guy. All right, we'll be back. We'll be joined by Burt Breer and a lot. What a great offseason this is going to be, least in terms of rumors. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.